Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Brandon Adams joins us on Tuesdays at this time, Dog Nation Daily podcast host. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. BA, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well, too.
Doing well. Obviously, been talking a bit about the semifinal games Thursday and Friday and looking ahead to the national championship game coming up on Monday. We'll get to that in just a minute. But interested to get your perspective on the Carson Beck kind of saga now that it's sort of come to a bit of an end. Certainly from the Georgia perspective, it has. And we talked last week about him, but not knowing what exactly he was going to do next. Didn't even know he was going to not go to the NFL. Now that it's played out the way that it has, and he's transferring to Miami, and the money is rumored to be what it is, like what's your kind of overall take on the way that this went down?
Well, I think the money has to be a part of this. Even though in college sports we don't have on-the-record confirmation the way we obviously do in professional sports, where all the contracts are, they are basically widely known. We have this for coaches for the most part, but not yet for players. But it's been reported that it's, $3-4 million, in that range. So I don't think you can talk about Beck without the context of the money, because obviously Carson Beck is a good player. Not a great player, I don't think, at least based on performance, but a good player. But the question you would ask is, okay, well, good at what price? And I think for Georgia a year ago, they were content to invest pretty heavily in Beck. And at times, I think you were really glad to have Carson Beck as your quarterback the last couple of years. But at the price that Georgia probably did pay for him in 2024, would have had to maybe pay for him in 2025, I think from that standpoint, probably both sides are ready for a fresh start. Clearly, if you're Carson, you can't turn down this kind of money. Right. And if you're Georgia, given the results you got with him this year, I think you'd be pretty foolish to spend that big after the results from the season.
Do you think the door was open for him to come back to Georgia?
I mean, phrasing it that way is sort of hard because, I don't think that Georgia would have rejected him in all situations. I don't think that's probably true. But I also don't think Georgia was necessarily, at least based on, people that you talk to or whatever, was necessarily looking to, find out how much they'd have to negotiate, how high their bid would have to go. I think that Georgia likes Gunnar Stockton. I think it liked Carson Beck, too. I think they thought Carson was going to the NFL, and so they were kind of happy to turn the page here. So I don't think it's probably as cut and dry of, hey, Georgia told Carson Beck to kick rocks, but I also don't think this is one of those things where Georgia necessarily begged him to stay either, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I mean, it feels like a pretty complicated situation. It's obviously a totally new situation just because of the landscape of college football, but I don't know. I just felt like the way that Stockton was kind of reported on and talked about, and some of the quotes about him leading into the Notre Dame game, and then the way that this has gone down with Carson Beck, I don't know. It seems like you can read into it that there were some people that maybe weren't that unhappy that Carson Beck wasn't going to be back.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And the one thing I tried to caution about going into the Sugar Bowl is that college football is not a morality play. And so, people want, because Beck's on social media a lot, like the TikTok videos, and because he drove the Lamborghini, kind of like the 80s movie where, the rich kid gets, his sort of, deserved fate at the end of the movie, and the sort of the good kid who drives the old pickup truck kind of gets the girl or something like that. That's not necessarily how college football is going to work out. Now, I do think that Gunnar Stockton's a good player, but I thought some of the, Gunnar's so great because there are certain aspects of Beck's personality that are slightly annoying. But I thought some of that was probably overstated.
I agree.
No doubt about it.
It would be very funny to me if Gunnar Stockton cashed in the F-150 for a Lamborghini.
Yes.
Now that he has all the money.
It would be so great.
People would be pretty mad.
It would be so great. It would be so great.
Huh. I guess it was more of an opportunity thing.
If he walked into the first day of spring practice wearing shades.
Yes.
And just like that.
Just like an arm sleeve.
That would be pretty funny.
I get an arm sleeve. And A TikTok account and a Tesla.
People have to be walking back.
God, they would lose their damn. They would lose their mind.
A quarterback with a pickup truck.
Hey, and I know I'm not asking you for insight or anything on that, but as we get closer or further away from the games and everything like that, do you think there's any changes that are going to be made to the staff? I mean, you look at, and obviously we know who the guys or the people who people mainly want to be out, but from where you're sitting there, do you think there will be a change at all as far as any of the coaching hires or anything?
Well, keep this in mind that if something like that happens, it typically happens kind of February-ish, you know, right. Like it'd still be pretty early for something like that to happen for Georgia. I don't think it's going to be Mike Bobo. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I think that through 2 years in the job, I think Bobo's been fine. I think he was pretty good in 2023. Offense probably not all that great in 2024, but Kirby Smart just won two national championships. The idea that he's got to humiliate his best friend and fire him, you know, 2 years after essentially an unprecedented feat of success, I don't think Kirby has to go there, nor do I think he wants to. Now, could somebody be gone? Perhaps there might be, you know, and who knows, maybe somebody wants to leave on their own accord anyway. But, you know, I would say there's a chance that maybe somebody leaves, and it'll probably be described as so-and-so is retiring or so-and-so wants to spend more time with the family or so-and-so, you know, whatever. I mean, like, Georgia has earned the right not to have to, essentially sacrifice, you know, somebody to the gods,
right,
because they didn't win the national championship. And I don't mean to be, you know, so blunt, but that's just the way that it goes. It's like, you know, obviously fans want to see somebody do something when a season doesn't end the way that you want it to. And I'm sensitive to that, too. I'm obviously a very big Georgia fan, but Georgia still won the SEC, and a year ago they only lost one game by 3 points. So, you know, the idea that Georgia's in sort of the desperate situation where they have to, you know, completely emasculate somebody, I just don't think that's what they're going to do, although there is a chance that maybe somebody leaves.
No, I mean, it's all about track record and earned trust and all that. Like, the Falcons had to move on from Jimmy Lake because somebody had to be moved on from. Georgia didn't have to do that. There's also the flip side of things, too, where, like, I don't know about you, probably have more insight into this than I do and Randy does, but I don't think either one of us saw Fran Brown getting hired as the head coach at Syracuse last offseason.
Right.
Then he did a great job, and winners get washed, and one of the weird quotes of the whole year when he said up there. But, like, that, there's a possibility that there's just a coveted coach on the staff that we don't see coming that ends up getting the job, too.
Yeah, there's always, you know, the possibility of that happening. And, I mean, for now in college, it seems like most things are pretty, you know, fit. But who knows how some of the NFL, you know, coaching changes change and stuff like that. So I'd be on guard for something. But, like, the hottest name out there in terms of fan debate about Mike Bobo, I think that Bobo's probably going to come back for 2025. But I'll also acknowledge that just given the fact that the offense this year wasn't great, and I don't think that you can say it any other way, it wasn't, you know, always as good as it needed to be. Well, clearly you would come back with a little bit more of a need to upgrade performance in 2025, and I think that's probably fair to say.
But think about this game coming up next Monday, D. Obviously, we'll talk to you the day after the game. But as far as, you know, the prospects of, I mean, these are two big brands that are coming here to Atlanta, in Notre Dame and Ohio State, so I don't think that'll be a problem as far as a draw. What are some of your early initial thoughts about the game?
Well, I think it's cool that, like, for both these teams, like, defense is really still pretty important. I mean, Notre Dame's got a very good defense, as Georgia fans found out, and Ohio State has kind of, last couple of years, kind of gotten back to the business of defense after kind of being the thing that held them back for a couple of years. So both these defenses, I think, are really good. And in the case of Ohio State, when you look at, you know, dominating Tennessee, then kind of, for the most part, dominating Oregon, and then, you know, getting a win like they did against Texas, it's really hard to beat three teams of that caliber in fairly decisive fashion, essentially 3 weeks in a row. Like, that is a very hard thing for anybody to do. So Ohio State kind of comes in to this national championship game on a real heater here right now. And I think by perception, certainly the point spread would suggest that they're a good bit better than Notre Dame. And, you know, obviously Notre Dame has a way of kind of Riley Leonard magic or good defense, trying to find a way to keep it close. But the whole thing sort of feels like a referendum on Ohio State, which is, are they going to finish this off and sort of pay off on the early kind of, remember, like, summertime, early 2024 hype that kind of built around them? Or are they going to just sort of finish off this playoff run and, you know, kind of show that they were able to shake off a really bad loss to Michigan? But as much of an interesting story as Notre Dame has been, it seems like the game itself is probably a little bit of a referendum on Ohio State.
Yeah, I think that's true. What do you think if there's a referendum or if there's a big picture takeaway or anything that – I know it's 1 year, so it's hard to do too much, but what do you think that the way the playoff has played out and the two teams that we have in the final – in the championship game says about the state of college football?
Well, it just sort of says it's a sport like the rest of the sports now, where weird stuff happens in postseasons for the most part. And I don't know what you do about that. And the truth is the games have turned out. I mean, I know the first round games weren't very good, but they've kind of gotten better as they've gone along, the Georgia loss notwithstanding. I mean, the games have been fine, but the postseason is just different from the regular season. And that's hard for us who are college football fans, because our regular season has always been the best regular season. I don't think this year's regular season suffered because of the expanded playoff. I think it made for plenty of interesting games. But when you say, well, these – I mean, some people might say this – these are the wrong two teams because, you know, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois or Ohio State lost to Michigan. I really don't know what you do about that, because every sport that has a playoff has some version of randomness that creeps in because of that playoff, because the short season is just so different than the longer season.
I know what you do. You beat them. If you don't think they deserve to be there, then beat them.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely fair.
Yeah, no?
And you're never going to play a full like round robin against everybody.
No,
so this is the sort of best that we have. And college football now just more closely resembles what the other sports sort of look like.
If you make the championship game in a 12-team playoff,
you deserve it.
You deserve to be there. I know people want to nitpick and all that, but
I do agree with that.
You don't want them there, then beat them. Brandon, thank you. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, B.
Hey, y'all enjoy it, and we'll talk soon.